flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Get back to your phone calls in just a second here. We haven't talked about the Hall of Fame yet, BT. And we did it yesterday, had some fun with it. We had Tom Verducci on. We filled out our ballot, which was not that dissimilar. I had Felix Hernandez getting in and no Sabathia. You had Sabathia and no King Felix. Sabathia did, in fact, get in. So CeCe, Ichiro, and Billy Wagner get in. Here's my issues with the voting process and the voters. Like, I love this stuff. I love talking about it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's such bullcrap. And the voters are pathetic. Not all of them. And I'm friends with a lot of them and work with a lot of them. Like, but how do we get to a point where Billy Wagner, for 9 years, wasn't a Hall of Famer? Last year on the ballot, he's a Hall of Famer. That makes no sense whatsoever. How is Carlos Beltran not a Hall of Famer? And forget about the cheating scandal. Like, that's bullcrap. It's year three. Beltran is a Hall of Famer. One of the great players, no doubt about it. Switch hitter, all that stuff. Postseason, he should be a Hall of Famer. And then the coup de grace, the nail in the coffin. How is it possible that one bleeping voter yet again didn't vote for Ichiro? Like, who in this world ever watched baseball and wouldn't think that Jeter or Ichiro would be a Hall of Famer?
Or Seaver. Did we ever find out who the person was, by the way? Has he revealed himself? Has he stepped forward?
I don't think yet we've had that.
Come clean, buddy.
Did we have it with Jeter?
Pay your penance. I think he did come clean with Derek.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. You see my point here?
I do. Honestly, I gave up not caring about the Hall of Fame because I love baseball. You know that. I love the whole fan. I love the numbers. I actually have something for each where I think you'll find interesting after. But it is so all over the map without consistency. And there is something to be said for that incremental tick up. That's why, what was Beltran, 70%?
I think so, right. So
70-point change. You know he's going to get it next year.
Okay.
And you know, when it's a little lighter, what about Andrew Jones? I know Chipper Jones was tweeting away from last night, basically saying if Andrew was a Yankee and he had 1,300 RBIs and 10 or 11, 12, 13 gold gloves, he'd be in.
He's probably right.
He might be. There's a lot of, although Mattingly's not in, so it's not just a Yankee bias, and A-Rod's not in, but that's a steroid thing. But he's probably right, and I think that Andrew Jones should probably be in as well. I think that
you wouldn't have voted for him, and neither would I, for the record.
For who?
Andrew Jones.
We did not. But I'm saying if he gets in at some point, it's not going to bother me.
It's the whole of, hey, he was really good at certain points.
Well, that's why I can't feign energy. I can't feign, like, anger, you know, pertaining to sports, obviously. But I can't manufacture that stuff if the people who are in charge of it don't care as much. Why should I care as much?
I know. It just bothers the crap out of me, dude. And even to the point where, and Sabathia seems like a great dude. Congratulations to him getting the Hall of Fame. But CeCe Sabathia can say he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. That does not add up to the other guys who had to wait certain time frame to get in for whatever reason. Even Beltran, just use him with Carlos. Like, Carlos Beltran should be a Hall of Famer. Also, I don't think there should be such thing as a first ballot Hall of Famer. I believe when you're eligible, you should be on the ballot. You either get voted in or you don't. That's it. He's a Hall of Famer.
You mean you get 1 year?
Yeah, like, he should be a Hall of Famer. What changed? Billy Wagner didn't take the mound in the last 10 years. So what changed?
Well, a couple things did change, just to push back and to have a conversation from the other side, though I'm largely with you. I think the reason why you wouldn't want to do that, where it's like, all right, you're on the ballot, you're either in this year or you're not. Yeah, bottom line, I know who I could X out immediately without giving a whole lot of thought. Now, maybe a couple of guys like Felix or CeCe, I just want to dive into the numbers a little bit, which I did yesterday before I gave you my ballot. But you do that because What if there is a scandal that's uncovered after the fact? The reliance and the development of different analytics. Like, I do like having a grace period just for almost retroactive retroactive evaluation. I don't think it's a bad tool, but if you wanted to do what you just said and have, all right, here's the ballot, X or no, you're in or you're not, and then maybe have every couple of years like a veterans committee to maybe write something that is a gross injustice, like almost like a do-over button, like a reset, just kind of flip it if it's agreed upon by X amount of people, however they want to determine it. I'd be okay with that as well. It's just, it changed about Harold Baines, Don Sutton, Burt Blylevin. Come on. I watched Burt. I remember watching those really good Yankee offensive teams with Mattingly, that team. Younger Mattingly. Pitching. And Burt Blylevin pitched in the 70s, way before our time. But I'm like, they're going to smack this guy. All right, he's got a good curveball. Fantastic. Like, I never once watched Burt Blylevin and, like, viewed him like I watched the young Dwight Gooden or Fernando Young or Nolan Ryan or Steve Carlton, even though I saw Steve kind of more at the end, like or Greg Maddux or Randy Johnson or Pedro. Not even close, dude. Not Roger Clemens. Not even close.
Yeah, Scott Rolen in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Never once did I watch Scott Rolen. Now think about that. Scott Rolen is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Carlos Beltran is not. There are more egregious ones, obviously, than just that. But, like, Scott Rolen was a good player. I'm not trying to take it. Scott Rolen is in the Hall of Fame, as is Chipper Jones. So what's the delineation between Chipper Jones, who was a all-time great performer,
switch hitter, too.
But they're both in all. How do you differentiate? Like, to me, it should only be the cream of the crop, the elite.
Me too.
I know it's not like that, but it's a reminder every single year of how stupid the whole thing is, and it's frustrating to me because they continue to get it wrong and make it about things that are other than the player's performance at an extremely high dominant level on the field.
Listen, you and I share a lot of the same concepts about the Hall of Fame. We're basically the same age. We saw the same players, so we're pretty like-minded here. I want to throw something real fast at you with Ichiro, real quick, okay? So when you talk about the history of baseball, it's very easy to say, you know, we'll never see another 300-game winner or, you know, certain stats that are almost unachievable based on how little players play compared to back in the day, all right? And that's statistically provable, right? Let me give you the converse to that. I think somebody like Ichiro, because nobody talks about the accumulation of hits, I don't think we'll ever see another Ichiro. I was just doing some very basic, very basic math. So we all know at this point it came up at the age of 27.
Yeah.
And you look at the first 7, 8, 9, more than 7 years of his career, 260 hits. Like George Sisler broke his record, 240, 238. Like just like Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, stupid numbers, right? If Ichiro, think about this. If he would have come up at the age of, I'm going to be conservative, not 18, 19, 20, at the age of 22, and instead of averaging 220 hits like he did for the first 7, 8, 9 years, we'll give him 200 hits. You know, that's another 1,200 hits. He's over. He's basically at 4,300. And when you factor, because there's very few guys now that get a lot of hits here. Luis Arraez, and nobody wants him.
Yeah.
Basically, he doesn't run. He doesn't have a rocket. He's not a good defender. Like, Ichiro, to me, is really one of the most unique, and I don't know that we'll see something like this again, a dude cranking out 220 hits a year with a Roberto Clemente arm in right field, which he had, and basically a Ricky Henderson light stealing bases in his prime. I don't know if that guy's ever created again.
See, I love that, the fact that Ichiro was better than anybody else at what he did, which was an absolute hit machine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years led the league in hits. I mean, that is...
And he started at the age of 27. So that's prime years he left on the table.
I get it. I know that. Well, I mean, that's why... How could you not... Like, how could the whole thing is so infuriating and so flawed. Just simplify, how could anybody who's watched baseball, who has a vote for baseball, not vote Ichiro for the Hall of Fame? The answer is that person, whoever it is, that remains unnamed at the moment, is going to say, well, I didn't think he should be unanimous.
Yeah, yeah. Who the hell are you render that verdict?
It's the same thing for Derek Jeter. And by the way, even worse for Ichiro. I still think Jeter should have been obviously unanimous, but like Ichiro, even better, you would argue, for what he did.
And postseason exploits, Derek, the championships, still, middle of the diamond. I mean, we could not even want to have that argument now, but I could push back on that.
The point is, anyway, like neither of those guys should have had any votes other than, yes, he's a Hall of Famer.
I know.
And yet
same with
don't.
Tom Seaver.
So then, who watched
Tom Seaver pitch and said, "No, I can't vote for him this year."
That's ridiculous. That's
come
what I mean.
On.
So why
dude.
Can I take it seriously? And it's the voters change over time.
Yes.
So, and it still remains the same nonsense where these voters at times think that...
Well, is it the same nonsense or is there more nonsense? And I remember when I was young, I'd hear a lot about like, oh, Tony will leave and eventually got in, should be in. And Tony, maybe Tony Perez from the Big Red Machine, yeah, or Gil Hodges should be in.
Yeah.
Like there were always protests back, but I think there's more. Like every year, there's two or three things to contest. Why did this guy get this vote? Why is he in with this volume of votes? Why did he not get in?
Yeah.
Why did he get in year three?
Yeah, and why is he waiting?
It's confusing. By the way, have you ever been to the Hall of Fame?
Yes, multiple times.
You have. When was the last time you went?
2014, I want to say.
That's a lot more recent than me.
Yeah.
I haven't been there since about 97, 98. Mm. Been a while. What'd you go for?
I went as a kid a long time ago.
Yeah, me too.
Probably the year that Joe Morgan and Jim Palmer got into, I want to say 1990.
Okay.
Is when I went as a kid for the first time.
Your parents took you?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I went on a little family trip to Niagara Falls, Cooperstown. Yeah. It was great. And, you know, as a 10-year-old or 11-year-old kid,
it's fantastic,
like,
dude.
Heaven on earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cooperstown.
Get a couple Slurpees, you're good to go. That's all you need.
That's all I need. And then I've been back a couple of times since. I went back to actually play in a tournament with one of my uncles. We played on Doubleday Field.
I didn't know you. I played. I did not know you played on that field.
Yeah, loved it.
That's
awesome.
The dugouts
were sick.
It was like a little Wrigley Field, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
That was awesome.
And then
I didn't know you played there. Good job.
Most recently, one of my friends got married in 2014 in Cooperstown.
Okay.
So then we went.
Was the bachelor parties in Cooperstown when he go to take pictures next to the
Ty Cobb
statue?
No, he actually got his wife is from there.
Got it.
So he got married there, but
we,
you know, as the group of people who commuted to go there, made a thing of it, go to the
very
whole
cool.
thing.
Very cool. So, I got to get back. I got to take my kids there.
You've never taken Colt, huh?
No. That's coming soon.
That should be high.
Very soon.
Stan is in West Orange. What's up, Stan?
Hey guys, hey! I couldn't agree with you more about some of the things that you said over the last couple of minutes. By the way, just to let you know, I listen with you every day, and to tell you the truth, I don't call in, but this was something that I had to do.
Yeah, okay.
How do you take away 10 years of one of the best shortstops besides Derek Jeter and not? And Chase certainly gets a better rating as far as votes are concerned than Jimmy Rollins. Rollins is top 20 all time in seven offensive categories,
mm-hmm.
and he's top 20 defensively category wise for an entire career.
Well, Stan, aren't these the inconsistencies that me and Sal were talking about that just drive you nuts? They're so random.
Well, like I said, it's incredible. Beltran, no question, he should have been in. Billy Wagner, how do you turn around? Billy Wagner didn't get Houston to the World Series. He didn't get the Phillies to the World Series. He didn't get the Mets to the World.
Yeah, but he was still great.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
He was still a great relief pitcher, Stan, Billy Wagner. And by the way, they made him wait 10 freaking years. It was ridiculous. He's better than Lee Smith.
Well, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll go along with that only because of the fact that you're right in that respect. But every time, it was funny. You can't take that away from Trevor Hoffman, but you know what happened with Trevor Hoffman, too.
Yeah, I think Wagner was better, and thank you for the call, Stan. And this is why I do love the conversation, BT,
mm-hmm.
but it's so frustrating because it continues to be wrong, and we could yell and scream about it as we do once a year.
Yeah.
It's a fun conversation, fun debate to have, who we would put in, who shouldn't be in, why is this guy in, what about the percentages? But it's so fundamentally screwed up, it hurts me at my core as a diehard baseball fan.
But you just said something interesting. You said that we yell about it every year. Yeah, we do, but I yell less often, and I yell with less volume than I used to. Each year dissipates a little bit. It's not that my love for baseball is fading. If anything, with my kids, it's been sparked and it's grown even more, almost back to when I was a kid. I love baseball. I have actually fallen back in love with baseball. Because, you know, like, honestly, just nobody cares. But, like, the way when I stopped playing, I was so beat up. And I in my mind, I underachieved and I hated baseball. I didn't think it treated me right. Like, I put so much in and it really spit me out. And I've learned to forget that because I just wasn't good enough. But in real time, it hurt me.
Right.
So I always still watch the Yanks and the Mets. But I fell out of love with it. I've fallen back in love with it. But I just, this is not a fight that I really...
You can't win.
You can't win it, and I'm almost not even willing to fight it anymore because it's so without reward.
Yeah.
Like, we go in circles every year. It's the same conversation. The names are just different.
Right. No, you're right. It's already ruined. There's nothing we can do about it. I'll be honest with you. It makes me feel a little bit better yelling about it.
I get it, me too, with certain things.
Yes, like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, was I more angry about it?
Oh, sure. I was a lunatic back then.
But it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And you're right. At some point, you just throw your hands up and say, who cares about it? And maybe we get to that point where we stop talking about it, even the once a year that it comes up. Maybe we do.
I don't think you and I will. Others will.
Well,
or could. We won't.
A lot of what we're discussing plays more to the older fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Colt or the younger, you know, even if you say, you know, your son's what? He just turned 10?
Just turned 10.
Okay, right. So, all right, say between the age of 10 and 30, do they give a crap about the Hall of Fame anymore?
That's a good question. I mean, I had such reverence for it when I was 10. I would say probably not. I think I would be untruthful if I said it's definitely not the same because he doesn't talk. Now he watches baseball every night, but he doesn't talk about the Hall of Fame like I already. No, I think the answer is there's been a drop off.
Which means those of us who really
carry the torch, kind of
before it got destroyed.
Yeah,
we're eventually going to move on.
That's true.
And the new crop, I don't think is going to give as much of a crap.
You know
what?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up with your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back on the Fan right now. We are joined by Tom Verducci, of course, of the MLB Network, Sports Illustrated, and Fox Sports. MLB Network will exclusively announce the Hall of Fame election results coming up tonight with Tom, part of the coverage starting this afternoon. Tom, before we get into it, you have a vote. What was your ballot for this 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I guess you could say I'm more of an old school guy. Well, I've been voting for more than 30 years, so that makes me old school, right? So I really tend not to fill out the 10 on my ballot, as some people do every year. There have been years I've done that when it's been really crowded, but I think I had 4 this year, and I've the holdover candidates. I've been voting for Billy Wagner for years. He's the guy I got my eye on today because obviously he was 5 votes short last year. And some of the early tracking leads you to believe that he will get over the 75% threshold. If he does, it's going to be really super close. So that's the one. That's the one borderline guy for me. I think Ichiro obviously is in. I think CeCe Sabathia gets in first pick as well. And I think Beltran probably waits another year. That's my guess.
Tom, can I ask you this? Just to step back from the ballot itself, and we want to throw some other stuff at you, obviously, here. You said you've been doing this for 30 years. Me and Sal have been watching baseball forever as well. When do you think, if you can find a point of demarcation where the standards changed a little bit? Because when I was a kid, like, it was as rarefied as you could possibly have in terms of a whole of accomplishment. And I think we all think it's been diluted over the years. Do you have a sense of when that happened?
I don't know exactly, but I do remember going back years when, you know, there were serious debates about whether guys like Phil Niekro or Don Sutton, 300-game winners, were Hall of Famers. It was not easy to get in. I do remember a lot of interest in Bert Blyleven getting in because he had great numbers, sort of like a Tommy John. Jim Cott was knocking on the door all those years. And then with a lot of sabermetric help and breaking down the numbers, he got above the threshold. That was the one case I remember where sort of the modern numbers really helped a guy who traditional numbers would tell you, man, maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. And, You know, I think also, guys, you have to look at the veterans committees and the flood of people who are going in on those committees. I know it's a different balloting from the writers, but I think it has affected the writers' ballot as well. I mean, I think the standards have changed a little bit. I think you're absolutely right. I don't have a problem with it. It's just the way things evolve. But it is, I don't want to say easier, but it used to be a lot harder to get into the Hall of Fame. We're seeing now 2, 3, 4, even a year now, whereas it used to be maybe you had one, a couple of years with some shutouts.
Yeah, the only people that don't get in now are the guys who use PEDs. I mean, everybody else seemingly gets in. Our difference, Tom, BT and I filled out our fake votes before you came on, and we did. The only difference that we have, we both had Manny and A-Rod on, but we understand why you wouldn't. And then BT and I disagreed on, I did not have Sabathia, but I had King Felix. You had Sabathia, but not King Felix. Give me your thought process to why no Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, he may be a guy that's going to take some time to get in. I just think he was pretty much done at 29-30. You can make a case there, though. For 11 years, he was one of the best pitchers in the game. I just think when you look at his total numbers, he's below some guys who've had really high peaks without the longevity. Guys like Johan Santana, Brett Saberhagen, maybe Tim Lincecum, a lot of pitchers who are great for a while. I just didn't see the back half of his career being that good. Of course, he threw a ton of innings at an early age, and I'm sure that caught up to him. I mean, he was in the big league rotation at 19 and 20. For CC, it was kind of easy for me. I tend to think the easier you can make a case for somebody, the more he's a Hall of Famer. And I look at this. He's one of three left-handers in history with 250 wins and 3,000 strikeouts. The others are Steve Carlton and Randy Johnson. So, you know, he's kind of a throwback in terms of the way he took the ball year after year. Again, he's a guy back half of his career, not that great, but he kept taking the ball. So he started compiling these strikeout numbers and win totals that I think get him over the hump in terms of the Hall of Fame.
Well, it's funny because you and I are on the same page in terms of both going for CeCe and not going for King Felix. But you said something that, you know, raised my eyebrows. You said basically, and I know he came up young, 19 or so, and basically after 11 years, he kind of flamed out. But let's bring that to Mattingly, who, imagine if Don Mattingly had, I know it's a different position player versus pitcher, but if Mattingly had 11 years, Don Mattingly would have been in the Hall of Fame 15 years ago. So when it's almost like you're minimizing 11 years. 11 years is pretty good.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, my general point is, you know, 10 years, you should have a 10-year peak. You know, I know a lot of people will look at 4, 5, 6 years. I tend to be a little longer than that. And
Yeah, listen,
I think he's a borderline guy. He's one of those guys that might grow on me as the years go by. I mean, let's face it. We look at starting pitching in today's game, and the guys who pitch 200 innings, I mean, they look like Walter Johnson and Christy Mathewson now because nobody's doing it. So the more years go by, the better I think King Felix looks. So, I'd have to look at compare it to some of the other guys that I mentioned who are not in the Hall of Fame, who had peaks but not a lot of proficiency over the years. Like a Saberhagen, like a Santana, there's a lot of those guys. And I thought he was really close, just a little bit short. I haven't ruled him out in terms of future ballots.
Okay. BT, it's Alan Fan. We're talking with Tom Verducci of MLB Network. They're going to have the exclusive announcement tonight, the Hall of Fame election results. Last one for me, Tom, on the Hall of Fame specifically, then we'll get into some free agent stuff. How much do you value postseason success? We kicked around the idea of Andy Pettit, who for my money was one of the best postseason pitchers I've ever seen on the Yankee dynasty in the 90s. Where do you value postseason when voting for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, to me, it's like being back in middle school where you do an assignment and you get extra credit for it. You know, if it's not that great, it's not like your market gets knocked down. But if you do a good job with extra credit, yes, it adds to your case. So that's the way I look at postseason. Like looking at Billy Wagner, I know people look at his 10 whatever it is ERA in the postseason. It's only like 11 two-thirds innings. It's a very small sample size. I don't hold that against him. But when I see someone like Carlos Beltran and the numbers that he puts up, his slash line in the postseason is one of the best of all time. Yeah, that can help you get over the edge. There's no doubt about that. I mean, even CeCe, you know, he had his moments in the postseason, that great series against the Angels in 09. But in general, his ERA is a lot higher in the postseason than it is in the regular season. So I don't think he gets extra credit necessarily for the postseason.
Yeah.
But some guys do. So that's the way I look at it. I won't hold it against you if it's a really small sample. I mean, Ted Williams had 200 in the postseason. Do I hold it against them? Of course not.
No.
But if you do
well,
I think it does definitely. Listen, the guys who change history, you're talking about the David Ortiz of the world, right? The guys who change history with postseason play, that means something when it comes to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, even Willie Mays' OPS is under 700. There's a lot of examples of guys who just didn't quite, wasn't, commensurate with what they did over the course of their career, the regular season to the postseason. So, Tom, before we get some remaining free agent names, Pete, I want to ask you this. 30 years you've been doing this. Do you have a favorite Hall of Fame speech? Were you there when Rizzuto spoke?
I was not there for Rizzuto. You know, maybe because it's fresh in my mind because of his untimely death, but Ricky Henderson I thought was great. I mean, he was one of my all-time favorite players. I loved covering him. He was just a real gentleman, a great guy to be around. Loved the game of baseball. My favorite story out of Ricky, I remember I went to write a story on him when he was playing for the Newark Bears. He must have been 43 or 44 years old playing independent baseball, and he was living at, he was taking a hotel room in New York and commuting to Newark. He was getting paid $3,000 a month by the Newark Bears, and he was paying $4,000 in rent in New York. So he was literally paying to play independent baseball at the age of 43. How great is that?
That's awesome.
So that's a personal favorite of mine.
That's a good one, man. All right, so listen, he's got a long way to go. Maybe he gets to 500 home runs, and maybe someday we're talking about Pete in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if we're talking about Pete back in Queens, though. I mean, obviously, it seems like he's gone. Can that change? Can the Mets pivot? Can they find a little common ground, or is it over?
I think the door is still open. I think a lot of this is up to Steve Cohen. And if the market, and it looks like it's not developing at all for him in terms of years and length, if it continues to be this dry, I think there's a point where, you know, the Mets go back to Pete and say, hey, we'll take you back on a short-term deal, 3-4 year deal, maybe an opt-out after 1 or 2 years. You can go out and hit the market again if you want. But I could see the emotional investment, and even on, you know, on paper, I mean, why wouldn't you want Pete Alonso in your lineup, right? I mean, he's a guaranteed 35, 40 home run guy every year. You just can't find those guys anywhere. But I thought going in, guys, that his market was just not going to be as good as he thought. Just the way the game is today, front offices just don't value those one-dimensional sluggers who play the corner position. And I think, you know, David Stearns is a guy who wants a team like he had in Milwaukee, where he's got a lot of young people with athleticism, get play multiple positions, a lot of flexibility. That's not Pete Alonso, right? But I think in terms of the owner and what Pete means to this team and having, you know, a right-handed bat with Soto, perfect, right? If you get him back on a 2-3-4 year deal, I think that's possible because I don't think his market is that great. Yeah, here's the example I use, guys, in terms of Pete Alonso. Going back to 93, and that sounds like ages ago, right? Remember Cecil Fielder? He had the Tigers over a barrel. He had a trade request in, and so they've signed him to an extension. They made him the second highest paid player in baseball behind only Barry Bonds. He got paid on home runs and RBIs. His numbers are almost identical to Pete Alonso. Nobody does that anymore. So his comps now, Pete Alonso, is Fielder, it's Ryan Howard, it's Mo Vaughn. It's these corner infielders who you don't want to buy their decline in their 30s. And that's why he's not seeing that 6-7 year deal.
But there's not one other team. I mean, the Mets offered him the 3 years, $68 or $70 million, which I thought was fair market value, if not over that, Tom. I need to see who else is involved. Where are the other teams that are even offering Pete anything? And if they do, is it really going to be better than 3 for $68 or $70 million at this point?
I don't think there's a team that would want him at this point more than the New York Mets. I mean, I thought he'd be a great fit in Seattle. I know it's a terrible park to hit in. Even Pete, his numbers would go down there, but they don't look like they're spending that kind of money. You know, the Blue Jays would send Tom there. That's a guy who hit 44 home runs. When you look at the deferred money, that's only about a 17 mil per year AAV for a 44 home run guy. So, you know, whether it's Toronto's still involved there, I don't know. Whether it's Cincinnati, I do think the Mets are still the best fit. And I'm Pete, man. I would come back 3 times 25 with an opt-out after one. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little pride thing, which is tough to calculate, and a little ego thing. I get it. I mean, he's a human being. So maybe that's what's dissuading him from doing that, although maybe he changes his mind. But I want to explore the Toronto angle a little bit more because me and Sal were doing this the other day, Tom, where, all right, they've been trying to give money away for years. They try to get Sasaki, try to get Ohtani. We know what's that. You know better than anybody. So now they got Santander, who I don't love anyway. He's not a good fielder, not a lot of juice on the bases, but he can hit, and he's a switch hitter. But do you think now it's more likely that they try to entice Pete, even if it's a 1 year with a high AAV, and they roll it back and don't try to trade Vladdy and say, hey, Vlad, look, we brought in this guy, Santander. We got Pete's a little pop. You think that they try to go for the gusto, or do you think that they're 100% out on Pete at this point?
I wouldn't say 100% out. I mean, listen, they've been trying to give away their money, and people just aren't taking it, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's Pete or whether it's Bregman, I still think they have another move left in them. They've got the money to spend. This team put a lot of money into refurbishing that ballpark.
It looks good.
Yeah, no, and Vlad has told them he wants a deal, an extension, or stop talking before spring training. Now, whether he holds to that, I don't know, but you have to have contingencies and think, well, maybe he's not signing extension here. If it's not done by now, when is it going to get done? I wouldn't rule Toronto out. They've been very aggressive. The general manager there, I think he knows he's got to produce a winner, at least close to a postseason team this year. It's a huge market with a great baseball history there. I don't know what their plan is, because I have not seen the apparent plan from the Toronto Blue Jays for the last couple of years. And I think they're in scramble mode right now, so I rule nothing out with Toronto.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the MLB Hall of Fame tonight.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Good job. Tom Verducci, MLB Network, Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports. With some potential, Hoff just said something in my ear there. We got some breaking news. What do you got, Hoff?
Yes, we do. There was the Blue Jays signed somebody.
Who?
Anthony Santander.
They did.
Yes.
Wow.
How many years?
I was going to say short one, long one, 4 years.
Doesn't say an agreement yet on
who
on
has
the,
it?
Morosi.
All right.
Morosi with the Blue Jays.
That means he's going to the Pirates.
Yeah, are we sure it happened? I mean, Ohtani.
Hey, listen.
All right, so wait.
Give him credit.
He said Blue Jays signed Santander. We have no idea about how many years.
No years, no nothing. Even Heyman supporting it, but there's no years. There's no
Do
details.
We think that, good job, Huff. Do we think that this maybe fuels more of the Vladdy trade, or maybe they just try to go and get Pete now and just go all in and say, let's try to do something here?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So forget Vladdy for a second.
Yeah.
How do you think that this impacts the Pete Alonso pursuit?
I don't think it dissuades them from doing. Like, they have been trying to get money away for years, and they really only have two really, really, really good sticks. And I like Santander. I didn't want him for the Yankees. I didn't love him for the Mets either. So I'm not going to start saying, oh, he's amazing. He can hit some home runs, hit 235, 240, can't run, average fielder. Switch hitter with pop. Okay, there's value there for sure. Now, if you bring in Pete, now, and you put Vladdy at third, I don't even know if Vlad would be amenable to that, but if you have Alonso at first base for Toronto...
Or who's their DH? I don't know the Blue Jays roster here.
But think about this, Pete. Sal, if you have Pete at first base, you have Vladdy at third and Santander in the outfield along with, you know, Bichette and, you know, one or two other decent players. Like, that suddenly... That could be the second best team in the American League East. The Orioles have done nothing.
Yeah, Red Sox got to do more. They need to go get Bregman. Hoff, what were you saying before about the pursuit of Sasaki? You were saying that they
So they sent three players to go recruit Roky Sasaki.
The Blue Jays did.
Do you want to guess the three players that they sent?
Oh, this is what you asked me when I left. I said save it for the air.
Yeah, so go
ahead.
It's
obviously funny slash weird.
Do you want to guess real quick?
Let's take a guess. Hold on a sec. Do they have to? I'm guessing that they weren't all Japanese.
I'm going to guess. Well, Kikuchi's got to be one.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying no. That Vlad, and to me, that would be telling if Vlad was not one. If he was one, then that would be a better sign.
Joe Carter? Like, are we going down memory lane here?
No, it's on the current roster.
Oh, he's on the current roster. Oh, who do you got?
Bo Bichette.
Right.
Okay. Chad Green.
Okay.
Dalton Varsho.
That's what they thought was going to get Roky Sasaki.
What if they sent them to Japan?
They said they were part of the recruiting process for Roky Sasaki.
What?
Yes.
Toronto, what are they doing?
I don't know.
We have no info on where or what they expect Santander to be. Like, meaning if he's... I want to know two things, obviously. How it impacts Pete Alonso / Vlad Guerrero. Because if the Blue Jays are now out on Alonso, and again, we don't know. We're just going through hypotheticals
here. My guess is they're not, but yep.
Well, if they're not, and I could understand you saying that, but then where would Pete play?
First base. Then put Vladdy third.
Then I'm going to move Vlad to third.
I don't know. Maybe you just get him in here and you have Pete DH. Pete plays first twice a week.
So is Pete going to go be a DH now?
If nobody else offers a deal, he's got to go play somewhere.
Or is the interest in Pete as maybe a backup saying that, hey, we're going to look
at
trade Vlad?
That could be possible. Both are potential possibilities.
Right. And we know that the primary goal of the Blue Jays, at least it's reported, that they want to extend Vlad Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're trying to extend him, and he doesn't want to do it,
yep.
then at some point they're going to say, okay, he's not coming. We got Santander. Let's trade Vlad, maybe bring in I don't know. I'm trying to go through the...
I think that you're spot on in terms of how you kind of weigh in this. I also, and I know that we just asked you, we don't know yet, I need to know, which will further shape my opinion, is it a one-year deal for a good AAV, or is it like 3-4 years? If it's 1 year, they very well might be saying, hey, bring him in for a year. You know, maybe we just go nuts. We get Pete 1 year with a player option for year two with a high AAV, and we have a really fun season, and we convince Vladdy to stay.
Right.
That could be one possibility.
I have one rumor here, but I don't like trust a source.
Well, what do you have rumor about?
Ari Alexander, he's like a reporter from somewhere out in Mizzou. Or he's a Mizzou lump, whatever. 5-year deal, they say. But no money yet. Still
five
has
years?
Yeah.
Sports anchor, reporter.
Yeah, Missouri's a good journalism school, too. So it wouldn't surprise me.
12,000 followers, verified.
I mean, 5 years for Santander is, for a switch hitter, I wouldn't do it. But it's not nuts. And quite frankly, for Toronto to finally get somebody to take their money, they probably had to tack on an extra year.
5 years for
Santander. I mean, I definitely wouldn't. I wouldn't give him three.
I mean, all right, if money's not going to be an issue, we'll see. I'm just reading another one. Melanie Newman, who is with Baltimore, so she'll know Santander. Santander was pretty proactive in how he trained in the off-field around Toronto series due to the harder turf that he plays on. Always gravitated toward places like Houston, blah, 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 Rogers Center, at least his home. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I'm fascinated to see where they're going to play him and what this means now for their next move. Does this mean they continue to try to go? Like, if they got Sasaki and Santander, then I'd be like, all right, well, the Blue Jays are in play, and they're going to at least keep Vlad to the deadline to see where they're at.
Yep.
I don't think this move in isolation means anything for Vlad. It might mean more for Pete. We just got to determine definitively how much the contract is and where he's going to play.
Yep.
And then I think, you know, then Vlad will decide maybe Pete, unless Pete would be amenable to being the DH.
The more I think about this, I feel like they are doing this with the intentions of not trading Vlad now. Give it a swing.
Right.
That's my gut now, the more I think about this.
Fine, and then what does that mean for Pete? Because Pete might end up without a chair.
Meaning I think Pete could still be in play for Toronto. Meaning I think that they are... Listen.
Well, what if it's not? Then could he still be in play for the Mets? Is kind of what I was getting at.
I feel like that ship has sailed.
Me too. But think about it. If there are no teams, like you think, okay, well, maybe Toronto looks promising, and then Boris is trying to milk them, and then they can't come to an agreement, and all of a sudden, like, you know what, we're going to go get Santander, and we're going to keep Vlad for now, and Pete maybe doesn't want to go be DH. I'm not saying there aren't any other teams, but like that was the one that we thought, hey, Blue Jays might be a realistic possibility.
Yes.
Because it was the first legit like report other than the Mets that we heard.
We heard Seattle, maybe, never got an offer. You know, they need some offense. That never materialized. Yeah. I meant to share this with you earlier, though. It's much more pertinent now. So I'm at the St. John's Seton Hall game on Saturday, and I see Gary Cohen.
Oh.
The Seton Hall.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, look how you perked up.
Yeah, I love Gary.
Yeah, no, Gary's great. Yeah. Gary's great.
You said hello and all that?
Of course. Okay. I've seen him for 20 years doing these games. I always say hi to him. I always make a little small talk. Nah, Gary's good.
Yeah.
And I said, how many? We're in the press room. We were sitting there. I don't want to jump
in. You went up to him?
He was walking by and he waved. And many years I go up to him. And if he sees me first, he says hi. Absolutely. Yeah. Very cordial. I like Gary. And
I'd be intimidated myself.
But you said that last time. I don't know why.
I know. Well, I just...
Yeah. Intimidated over what?
I don't know. I'm insecure. Okay, good.
All right. I said, how many people are going to ask you about Pete tonight, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, get ready. He's like, how many people are going to be crying that he left? And we were talking about a few things, like very quick again. I was eating. He was walking. And as he was walking away, he says, he's not gone yet. And then he said, price keeps going down.
Right. That's kind of what I'm saying.
I got you. Is that more hope? I mean, I don't know.
It's not like the Mets didn't offer him a deal or a fair. I thought it was a fair market deal. I said before, we said this on Friday. I don't think he's going to get a better deal elsewhere.
He's not.
So if another team comes off the table, and again, I don't know. I'm trying to look up right now the Blue Jays roster and the projected team, but of course I can't do it because it's these websites are ridiculous. But anyway, I'd be curious to see if we get more details on the Santander stuff. And by the way, we're getting close. Like, it's 3 weeks from today.
Oh, yeah.
Pitchers and catchers report for the Mets. Like, if Pete wants to start playing, he's going to have a deal, you would think, somewhere.
I just told Pete stay in shape. Isn't that the kind of body where if he has a lazy offseason, I mean, that's the kind of thing that's going to take him 2 months to get back into shape.
He's been working out with Sean Manaea. They had some videos there.
I saw that. How's he look, though?
I mean, he looked fine to me. I mean, he looked like Pete.
Just not as good as Derek's hands, of course.
Yeah, you stop with it.
Yeah, you're the one who told us.
Yeah. I wasn't marveling at the hands.
I know you are. Where have they been? You missed that the other day. Free Odyssey app. Just find the segment, Jessica Alba, Cheater.
BT and Sal on the field. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
All right. T-Wolf 2025 in style. And by the way, Hoff whispered in my ear. He says he's got a question about Pete. So I want to let you do that. We'll do that coming up next. I'm very curious. Hopefully it's not a dumb one. Is it a good one? Or is it a dopey one?
It's a really good thought out question.
Looking forward to that.
And we'll get back to the quarterback conversation too. We pause that. We'll get back to that in a little bit.
100%.
As well.
You want some Pete Alonso rumors?
Go ahead. Yes. I mean, we already know he signed with the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Talks are advancing between Pete Alonso and the Blue Jays, according to Andy Martino.
Somebody had to take the Blue. Well, Santander did, but somebody else had to take the Blue Jays money.
Well, they may get multiple guys. You know, I mentioned this the other day. They signed Anthony Santander at an AAV of $18 million. Mm-hmm. They were offering Juan Soto like $50 million. They may get Santander and Alonso for less than what they were going to pay per year for Juan Soto. This is so depressing because I know Pete Alonso's gone. I think we all kind of deep down know the Mets have moved on. They made their last and final offer. Boris didn't accept it. And now this is just a bad breakup. I want to be put out of my misery. I don't want to continue to think about the ex-girlfriend possibly texting me after we broke up. Like, everybody's done that in their life, right? You break up with somebody and there's that few week period where you check your phone and you're like, she may still write me, or vice versa. You may still write her or him, right? And then you put out of your misery. She's getting married or something like that. So in the case of Pete Alonso, I want him back. I've made that very, very clear. I still want him back. I love
being a Met.
Thank you, Pete. Not really, though. You love being a Met. Okay. More on that in a little bit. I want him back, but I also want to stop thinking about this. Just put me out of my misery. Sign with the Blue Jays. We'll scream and yell at Pete and the Mets how it didn't work out. And that's it. Because right now, the longer this goes, the more it's like you're thinking about an ex. I don't like thinking about exes. I don't think about exes. And unfortunately, Pete Alonso's about to be an ex.
And if he goes to the Blue Jays, Santander and Alonso on the Blue Jays, are you now willing to admit on the air that Vladdy to the Mets is a done deal?
No.
What do you mean no? They would have two sluggers there, a first baseman. They're not going to sign Vladdy.
Yeah, they're going to try to win. First of all, in both cases, there are opt-outs. Well, Santander really has like a four-year deal. But in Pete's case, they're going to be opt-outs. And they have money to spend. They want to keep Vlad. If anything, it proves your point the opposite, that they're trying to win. They're trying to win. They're trying to win the American League East. They're trying to win a World Series. So, no, it's the exact opposite, actually.
No, because it opens up now a position with the Mets.
No.
Yes.
No. The Blue Jays are not trading Vladimir Guerrero
Jr. No, not trading. I'm saying in the offseason.
Oh, that's completely different. Of course.
Now this, but I'm saying now if you read,
Tommy,
yes.
There is a very good chance that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to leave in free agency and sign with the New York Mets. I've never denied that. That's a year from now.
But
I'm not talking about 2026. We can do that. Maybe we'll do a whole recall about 2026. But in 2025, they're not trading him. So if you want to be the guy who talks about a year from now,
that's not what I'm trying
cool,
to be.
Cool. I guess we can. I'm not interested. Sean will tell you, was I interested in talking that much about Juan Soto a year in advance? I said it once to you, and I said, let's move on till then.
Yeah. So, even though you throw the snarky rent and whatever.
Yes. Yeah, I throw snarky comments in.
Passive aggressive.
But Sean, it makes sense because the DH flop between first and DH works.
Yes.
Of course.
It absolutely works.
And they've talked about moving Guerrero to third base.
Yeah.
So but maybe and maybe this shows Vlad a real commitment to winning for Toronto.
Sean, you're right.
Yes,
you're not wrong.
Sean, you're half. I don't know if you're joking or being serious.
I'm not joking. I'm being dead serious.
This is clearly what the Blue Jays are trying to do. They want to spend money. Nobody would take it until recently.
Yeah, Pete's going to take it. Unbelievable. Well, I
mean, who else is going to give it to him?
No, I understand. That's the spot we're in. All right, so
they might go get Bregman too.
Probably not. But you may hear me.
Can you imagine?
I could. And at that point, I wouldn't care. Like, if they go get Bregman, good.
Well, I mean, Sean would care.
Well, Sean, yes, Yankee fans would care.
Of course, because they're going to all of a sudden snap into maybe being good.
There is a chance at some point today, it is right now 3:27, we'll be on the air for a few more hours. There's a chance that I may die live on the radio.
No, but
yet
see,
again.
That's no.
I'm going to be disappointed and sad.
But that's why I brought up Vlad. I'm being your bro. I'm hurting too. I'm taking you out for a beer. You got dumped by your girlfriend, so we're going to go out. We're going to look at some other women.
Yeah, but
women.
That's not happening.
It's not happening,
soon.
Bro. Don't waste my time with it.
It's like I promise
anytime
you.
Soon,
I'm going to get you this girl in like 7 months.
Yeah.
I'll get you this girl in 7 months, and so for the next 7 months, you're like, dude, what am I doing?
We'll get you another girl.
What about
now?
This season?
Well, what do you think? They're going to have nobody playing first base? They're going to throw the ball to nobody?
No. Their plan is Brett Beatty will play third base and Mark Vientos will play first base. That's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So don't waste my time with Vlad. Like, and I shouldn't say waste my time because I'm with you that next year he's a major free agent target. I'm not denying that. I've never once denied it. Right. What I'm telling you is right now in January of 2025, the last thing I think any real sane Met fan wants to hear about is next year.
Right.
They're trying to win this season.
And, the thing, none of that becomes guaranteed. None of Vlad coming to the Mets is guaranteed.
Right.
Even because, as we were just kind of alluding to, if the Blue Jays spend a ton of money, become somewhat viable, you think Vlad's not going to say, maybe I'll stick this thing out?
He could stay.
Right? And maybe you're going to offer me the world? Oh, sure.
The difference between Vladimir Guerrero and Juan Soto, there are two huge differences that are really important. Number one, we knew, I said this to Sean from the beginning, we knew Juan Soto was going to free agency. Mm-hmm. It was a guarantee, and we were pretty sure he was going to take the last dollar. We do not know that about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because he's talked to the Blue Jays about an extension. Juan Soto never talked to anybody about an extension. So Tiki's right that that's the other reason why it's such a stupid thing to like dream and talk about. Like, yes, he could sign with the Mets a year from now, but there's also a chance he extends before he gets to free agency or something weird happens. So what I don't want to hear, because it's coping and it's obnoxious, I don't want to hear from you or any other Met fan, if Pete does leave today and sign with Toronto, instantly, we're going to get Vladimir next year. Dude, stop. That's a year from now.
It is.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying, who wants to hear that right now? They're not trading for him right now. They're probably going internal options. The Mets are not as good as they could be by keeping Pete. Doesn't mean they can't win. Doesn't mean we're giving up on the season. But it's disappointment. And I really don't want to hear it from you. You don't want to know why, Tommy?
Oh, you're going to hear something else, but you go first.
Here's why. Because I know how you truly feel about Pete, and I know you're going to be hurt.
I am.
So just be hurt.
I am going to be hurt.
Just be hurt. Don't give me fake excitement for a year from now.
Not fake excitement.
Be real and be hurt.
But what I will not do, and this is all what Positive Tommy is all about, I'm not going to wallow in the misery. So I'm going to go, all right, Beatty, Acuna, one of these guys are going to take that Mark Vientos leap. And my eyes are on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., so I'm thinking about the present and the future. I'm not going to kick the can down the road if he signs with the Blue Jays. I'll be disappointed, but I'm not going to wallow.
Can't you spend a few minutes, not wallowing, but being disappointed? Like, that's okay.
But you know what, though?
Isn't that okay? Isn't that normal healing?
But this Alonso thing, though, has dragged out so long that we all saw this coming now. Like, it's just been, how long have we kind of, I know we've like been like, yeah, he's coming back, and we want to believe that, and we feel that way, but this wouldn't surprise anybody at this point. So it's not a shocking thing.
Now you're frustrated by it.
And so I'm thinking about where we're going.
And so you get irrational thinking about what the alternatives are.
I want to play a game with you, okay? And for the audience, I want you to know what I'm about to say is not real. It hasn't happened yet. But I'm going to break the news that Pete has signed with Toronto. Because normally, if this happens on the air, Tiki and I are going to talk about it, and then we'll ask you something about it 15, 20 minutes later. But here, I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Okay, we're going to break the news, and you are going to respond to it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just got the news. I just got a text message. I have it confirmed. This is fake. That Pete Alonso is signing with the Blue Jays. Okay? It's a three-year deal. It's $80 million. So it's a little bit more than what the Mets offered. There's opt-outs in it. It's a done deal. Again, this is we're acting right now.
Except so for the Martino advancing tweet that just came out.
Advancing tweets is different, though. I'm saying it's a done deal. Alonso was signed with the Blue Jays. I cannot speak right now. I'm so hurt. So, Tommy, the floor is yours.
P, Pete Alonso, remember this, bet on himself. He was offered a 7-year deal a couple years ago. He turned it down. He fired his agent. He hired Scott Boras. He bet on himself. Regular season numbers weren't up to snuff. We all remember that homer in Milwaukee. He had a great postseason run, but the Mets just didn't feel like he was going to be part of their big-time plans. Both sides are at fault here. He's gone. As Evan once said, there's nothing we can do about it. But here's how we move on. If I had told you last year in January that Mark Vientos was going to be our best slugger down the stretch and a budding superstar, you probably would have laughed at me. So I'm going to sell you Luis Angel Acuna Jr. I'm going to sell you Brett Beatty.
You can't even think of the name.
I don't even think Acuna's a junior, but I'm going to give you the young players here, and I'm going to tell you that I believe this has all been a master plan by Steve Cohen and David Stearns all along. Their eye is on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for next year, and that's what they are going to do next season. And we saw that with Soto. If they want somebody, they're going to get him. This takes time to build a dynasty. I know we all want results right away, but they will build one here with Soto and Vlad and Lindor and Vientos, etc., leading the way.
So you're generational talent.
So you're not going to be real.
It's a decent try.
It's a decent try, but he's not being real. He's not showing that he's hurt. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay. Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
I like David Stearns. I trust David Stearns. I will be hurt if Pete Alonso's
really
not on.
I really wonder how many Met fans are going to be hurt. Now, because so many of them are like, okay, whatever. Good riddance. We'll be better without him type of thing. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but there's a faction that will believe that. The challenge will be if he has a good season. That's when it gets... That's when the Met fan gets upset.
And the replacement doesn't. That's the real important thing. Because if Pete has a good year, but Brett Beatty becomes a star, I think Met fans would be whatever. I think it's easier to move on. I think, so the vibe I'm getting, the reaction to Pete leaving, if this does happen today or tomorrow, is going to be anti-Pete Alonso. It is not going to be... Now, guys like Joe, who was on with us yesterday, is mad at Steve Cohen. He's mad at David Stearns. There will be guys like that. But the vibe I'm getting, communicating with Met fans, is that they're going to blame Pete and they're going to say, hey, Mets made a good offer.
Yeah.
If he really wanted to be a Met, he should have signed.
Well, especially,
that's the vibe.
Especially if he takes this reported deal, which is 3-year, $75 million, which is not that much more than what the Mets offered for 3 years and $68 million.
And also, there's higher taxes in Canada.
Are there?
I think so, yes.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, just,
I would assume so.
I'm just making an assumption. I know we have high taxes in New York, but I think it's actually even higher.
No, but a real question. Do they get paid in the Canadian... What is the Canadian currency?
The Canadian dollar.
So they get paid in the Canadian dollar or they get paid in U.S. dollar?
I have no idea.
That's a good question.
All I know is that when I was in Toronto and I bought something with American money, they took it, and then they gave me those funny-looking Canadian coins back, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
But did you get the right exchange rate?
No idea. I have no idea. It was like a collector's item. That's the way I basically viewed it. I was like, ooh, this is cool.
Pete Alonso to Toronto, who knows? We shall see. Still could be with the Mets. Don't know. One guy that clearly wants him back and is going after the owner a little bit is one Joe Beningo, who was on the afternoon show with Evan and Tiki.
Do I want Pete back? Of course. But you know what? Let's be honest, okay? The boy genius, Stearns, because he's, you know, let's be honest. I mean, he's smarter than everybody in the freaking room, doesn't want him back. And the guy that I blame is the owner.
And he is really bothering me.
Jesus, God.
I want to talk about a landline phone right there, man. He's that is a straight-up landline phone.
We appreciate the landline phone when we got guys
on. He was
on.
Doing, like, Zooms and stuff, though, I thought, with those guys.
But you know what? You're right about that.
Oh, what I know that he's... tends to be like 85% negative about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, what? I mean, they just signed a guy to
So if you're asking why does he want Alonso back so badly, is that where you're going?
I'm just like,
why is he criticizing Stearns?
Why are you killing David Stearns? Why are you killing Steve Cohen? They got your team to the playoffs last year. You almost made it to the World Series. It was totally unexpected.
So I was building.
And now you just added Juan Soto, for God's sake.
Right. So I was building.
Oh,
he's building towards the answer.
Building.
All right. So here he is explaining why he's bothered by it a little bit.
I'm tired of it. I thought Stevie Cohen had a feel for the fan base, okay? And now you notice what they're pulling now with this whole Vlad Guerrero. We're going to get Vlad Guerrero. You know what? Screw Vlad Guerrero. I want my guy.
And so here is the main reason why. You're asking the question. This is essentially why. He wants a Met to remain a Met and not go somewhere else or be shipped somewhere else.
I'm tired of it, from Tom Seaver to Daryl Strawberry to Ray Knight to Kevin Mitchell to Daniel Murphy to Zach Wheeler to David Cohn to Rusty Staub, I have lost every big guy that I have had on my team with the exception of David Wright.
And then he goes after Cohn and Stearns because they're doing what others have done prior to him as he continues rattling names off.
Whether it was that stiff M. Donald Grant, whether it was that stiff Frank Cashin, who even though he was the GM on a championship team, decided to destroy the team and then said Daryl Strawberry wasn't a $5 million a year ball player, okay? Whether it was that stiff, whether it was the freaking Wilpons, now Stevie Cohen is doing the same thing. And I am beyond livid.
He wants his guy to remain his guy.
Yeah, it's one of the main things in his playbook. He does that all the time with all of his teams. You know, can we get one of my guys now? Can we get a guy we drafted to do this now? There's always have to be someone from another one. Can we draft a freaking guy for once? Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we sign our guys? So he's been saying that same thing for years, but I mean, I don't know. What Frank Cashin did has nothing to do with 2025 David Stearns and Steve Cohen. I think we know that.
Did they just spend $768 million on one player?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
from Carlos Beltran to Carlos Delgado to Pete Alonso to Billy Wagner to John Franco to Frank Cashin to Jeff Wilpon to Fred Wilpon to Kevin McReynolds to Kevin Elster to Rafael Santana to Gary Carter to Charlie O'Brien. Bro, it's the same freaking crap every time, no matter who the owner is. Now Stevie Cohen's doing this too. Right up my ass. He's doing it too. You can see it. You can hear it. You can feel it.
The Dodgers did introduce Roki Sasaki. This was I don't need to play this. Do you want to hear the audio of Ohtani, the former translator?
Yeah. So this is the guy impersonating him,
this
right?
This is, what was his name? Ippi Musahara.
Yeah.
We've got this, right? Ippi?
Ippi, yeah.
Ippi or whatever the hell his name is.
Ippi.
So this is a tape of him trying to impersonate Ohtani with a bank to try and get money wired. It's 50 seconds.
Who am I speaking with?
Shohei Ohtani.
Thank you. How may I help you?
So I tried to log in to online banking and it told me that it's not available to me at this time. And I need a call.
Sure, I can take a look into that. Alrighty. And could you tell me the name of the payee and the amount of the transaction, please?
The person I'm sending to?
Yes.
It's for $200,000.
Thank you. Alrighty. Now, recently we come across a trend of fraud and scams. So we have been monitoring the online transactions closely to make sure our clients are not the victim of either. What is the reason for this transaction?
For a car loan.
Okay. You said it's for a car loan?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your relationship to the payee?
Oh, he's my friend.
Wow. And this actually went through?
I guess it did. I mean, I don't know.
Wow.
I guess if he had all the credentials, yeah. But was having trouble, right. I don't know.
Well, that's why when you do call a bank, it says that this will be a tape-recorded phone call. Yes.
And this is, what I'm doing this afternoon? I'm calling up a bank and going, yeah, this is Jeff Bezos. I need $400,000 wired for a car.
A car. Car loan.
Car loan? Thank you. All right.
Yeah. God. Really wild. So, well, I know I doubted that story, but it certainly seems like that was true. And Ohtani, I guess, had nothing to do with any of it. Rangers Flyers last night. The Rangers really starting to play good hockey again.
To Lindgren. Had trouble with it. Got to Shallow. They score. And looked like a deflection in front of
Edstrom.
Edstrom, okay. I know Rempe was there, but it's Edstrom's goal.
And that was a big goal. It was after Braden Schneider scored and made it 3-1. They win 6-1. Sam Rosen, yes. MSG.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's 4 of 5 for the Rangers. How about 6 different goal scorers on the night, including Keandre Miller, who scored in the second period.
We are a long way from December when they looked like they had no idea what they were doing.
Yes, and people wanted the coach fired. And what's happened? Stick with the coach because you know the coach.
Well, they
coach,
made two trades. Okay. They got the Trouba trade and the Kako trade, and they got two guys that came back. Vakanainen, who's Al's favorite guy, and Borgen on defense, who have actually played.
Is that a name
well.
Or a sound?
Vakanainen.
No, the other guy.
Borgen.
Oh, Borgen.
Okay. Borgen.
Borgen?
Borgen.
Borgen? Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And they've settled things down on the back end. Just like you need to sell something that on your back end.
What do you mean? My ass?
Yeah. If you want to call it that, that's fine.
What needs to settle down with my ass?
What do you mean if that's what you want to call it? What else are you going to call it?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. Call it what you want to call it.
I'm not doing anything with my ass today. There are days I am.
All right.
But not today.
Today's a light day for your ass.
Today's a light day for my ass. So far. You never know. It's early.
Here was Peter Laviolette on his goalie, Igor Shesterkin.
Well, you think about, you know, him being in that second period. It's a 2-1 game. He made some really big saves and, you know, allowed us to build on that.
Yeah, he did. He had
kind of
30.
Like the same thing as last year. Got off to a slow start. Jonathan Quick kind of saved the team last year. And now, all of a sudden, Igor has been, his last three games have been unbelievable. He's been great.
Rangers now 24-20-4 with the win. The Flyers, after the loss, take on the Islanders tonight.
Closer, BT, to pitchers and catchers and spring training and eventually opening day with the football season winding down, we continue to see the Los Angeles Dodgers, who beat the Yankees in the World Series last year, load up with star after star after star, which leads us to, do our teams here in town need to do more to close the gap, at least on paper? And if I'm looking at the Mets specifically, because I think the Yankees have, you know, look, they were in the World Series last year. They built, made a lot of moves, even with losing Juan Soto. I think the Mets do have to do more. You don't want to react to what other teams do. However, in this spot, to get on par with the LA Dodgers, I do think the Mets need to react and make sure that they go big. If they got Juan Soto, they still need more.
But they've got, I know that both teams do need more. I agree. And I also agree that the Mets need more than the Yankees at this point. I do think the Yankees need to determine, is Jazz, hey, said it right. And I didn't give you Jazz. Is Jazz, yeah, nice. Yeah. So I'm thinking about it. It came out properly. Yeah. Is Jazz playing third or is he playing second? Once they resolve that, I think for the most part, provided they're healthy, everything will fall into line for the Yankees in a weaker American League. And then you see what happens in October. The Mets now, yeah, they need protection for Soto. They absolutely have to get that. But I, when I look at the Dodgers, who are a model of surplus at this point, I really think the dumbest thing for the Yanks and the Mets would be to try to match it to, number one, pacify fans, or in their own minds, just kind of hang with the big boys. I don't think there's a move that could happen the rest of this winter. I know that there's not. The rest of this winter that's going to elevate them perception-wise on the same line as the Dodgers, even if they got Bregman and even if they would have gotten Santander a couple of days ago. I think when you start chasing teams rather than sticking to your model, I think that's when you get in trouble.
I think it's a sound philosophy, and I'm not surprised to hear you say that because that's consistent with the way that you would believe in football. We talked about that with the Giants or whatever, and I kind of fundamentally agree. However, BT, it is more than just trying to get the results on the field. Like, last year's Mets offseason wasn't very good, and we accepted that at the time. Or I shouldn't say it wasn't very good. It wasn't exciting.
Yeah,
and
true,
I accepted
it
at the time.
Turned out pretty good. It just wasn't, yeah.
Well, right. It wasn't very exciting. So it doesn't always mean you win making these big moves, which is why I don't think the Dodgers are going to be as great as everybody thinks. Now, they were World Series champions. They added to it. Ohtani's coming back healthy as far as the pitcher goes. So you look at it and say, well, how the hell are they going to be beat? Hey, this is sports. Things do happen. But there is something to be said about Steve Cohen in particular, who talks about the Dodgers being the model and him now getting the one mega superstar in Juan Soto, but trying to compete with a team that has four or five, six of them, and you look at their rotation, I just don't know how. You saw the disparity firsthand. Again, forget about the Yankees for a second, because I don't think the disparity was as great with the Yankees as it was with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the disparity firsthand, where I think even if everything went right for the Mets last year in the NLCS, they still weren't as good as the Los Angeles Dodgers. They got clobbered in that series, even with winning the two games. So the Mets have a long ways to go to close that gap. And the more the Dodgers add, you're not necessarily doing it in response to what they're doing, but you're doing it to try to close the gap going in anyway. I want to more for the Mets anyway.
I get it. I mean, it's going to get you jacked up and juiced up in January and leading to February and March down in Port St. Lucie and Tampa. There's also this thing called the trade deadline, and I know that that's not as sexy today. I get it, but in a lot of ways it's more effective because you know exactly what you need to address based on a lack of production, injuries, or both. You know, the thing about the Dodgers, and Everybody is talking about the money that they're spending, which obviously is front and center, and it's kind of not cheating, but maybe circumventing some things on the up and up with the deferred money, yeah. Blah, blah. Okay. Until baseball changes its rules, Dodgers really aren't doing literally anything legally wrong pertaining to the CBA or any of those other issues that teams abide by. But what they have to be lauded for, and if there was an opportunity now, I would say that the Mets or the Yankees should do this, but why the Dodgers were so forward-thinking and so smart, when they got, forget about the pitchers, when they got Mookie Betts, he was in his absolute prime. When they got Ohtani, he was in his absolute prime. And when they got Freddie Freeman and they signed him for the Braves, he was still in the middle. Maybe not at the beginning stage certainly in the middle of his absolute prime. And I look at guys like Santander, I look at guys like Bregman, I look at guys like Pete, who's their own. Those guys, they might be in there. I don't think Bregman's in his absolute prime. Maybe Santander is. I don't think Pete is. He's kind of close to middle forward. But their prime's not good enough, not dynamic enough to justify going for those kind of guys. Because in your mind, you think you're keeping up with the Dodgers, but you're just spending money and bringing in inferior players.
Well, let me give you an example. Tanner Scott. Like the Mets, okay, they're pivoting from Pete. In their minds, they think Pete is going to sign in elsewhere. So what do? Jesse Winker. Okay, whatever.
$8 million, he's fine.
Here's what Jesse Winker is. He's better than Daniel Vogelback or better than J.D. Martinez. But, he's Jesse Winker. Okay, and then they get A.J. Minter, right? Good reliever, love the side.
Solid.
Why couldn't they go get Tanner Scott in addition? Like, the Mets are operating with Steve Cohen, and I'm not trying to call out Steve Cohen because I think he's done a great job, but I understand that you don't need to spend $400 billion to build a winning team. But if the Dodgers can go add guys on top of guys, like extending for Blake Snell and bringing him in, you know, the Glasnow trade, whatever, and then signing him up, and I think you have to almost take out Yamamoto, Ohtani, and Sasaki because the Mets and Yankees both tried to get those guys. They just couldn't because they wanted to go to the Dodgers. But Tanner Scott could have been had by the Mets or the Yankees. And let's just focus on the Mets for a second. If the Mets went out there and got Minter and Tanner Scott, we'd be feeling pretty good about their bullpen. Instead, the Dodgers go pay him the 4 years, whatever it was that he got. So there are moves that could be made. And Walker Buehler, like the Mets could have added another starting pitcher. Now you're saying, okay, well, is he that surefire bet? No, maybe not, but they're thin in the rotation. They're thin in the bullpen. They're thinner in the lineup. There were moves that they could be made outside of the ones that they couldn't get, like the Japanese players. Why are the Dodgers making those moves, but the Mets can't?
I don't have an absolute answer for you, but I do know this. Remember, I just talked about the primes and the absolute primes and how the Dodgers were ahead of it getting those guys. Okay. To me, there's only, at least for public knowledge, one player right now in baseball who is in his, I think he's just entering his absolute prime, and the Mets, and we think he's available, and the Mets are in the middle of everything. That's Vlad.
Right.
So that is in line with what the Dodgers were doing with Mookie Betts when they got him at the age. Now, that's number one.
By the way, I think the Mets, sorry to cut you off there, BT, but if Steve Cohen was the owner at the time, they would have been in on Mookie Betts. Doesn't mean they would have gotten him.
Yeah, I agree.
But they would have been in on Mookie Betts. Maybe
I,
not the Yankees because of the Red Sox thing, but
I agree with that. I think that that's fair. I think that there's enough evidence that Steve Cohen's going to be on anybody that he think is ascending and a true organizational difference maker, no matter what the price tag is.
Or they wouldn't have let Zach Wheeler go. Like, those are two moves.
That's an old one, but I agree.
He's still dominant
now. He's very good.
So he would have been in their rotation theoretically. Anyway,
the other thing, though, this is important, too, and I know it's not as fun, even though some people love digging in the weeds here, but most people don't really. First of all, nobody truly knows because, and you'll see where I'm going, they're still unproven commodities, but I think you have to factor this in. Every decision the Mets make or don't make, on some level, is also correlating to what they believe that they have in the minor league system. I'm telling you, I get it. It's not exciting in January when it's 9 degrees outside and you have the Dodgers with basically 13 All-Stars. I get it. I agree. I understand. Yes. But part of that sustainability, and that is the word that you and Evan and all these great Met fans have used forever, what you guys are chasing is every year when you go down to camp in the middle of February, you're on the short list to win the World Series. Not for 1 year, but, you know, a run of 5 or 6 years. Like the Yankees are there. Like the Dodgers are obviously there, even more than the Yankees, clearly, because they beat them. So I just think it's kind of it's a tsunami of things almost working against the Mets right now. Not forever, but right now. There's not a lot of in the prime. Well, tell me me maybe you can lure Tatis away from the Padres. All right, maybe you have that conversation. He's in his prime. But there's not many in the prime guys that they can get right now. They might get Vlad. They're trying. And also, they really like their minor league system. That's something David Stearns is very good at. You got to let him cook.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But the minor league system, you know, you got to wait for that. And then see who's going to develop. And a lot of these guys aren't even his. They were Epler's picks. But to your point, whether it's Vlad, whether it's Tucker, whatever it may be.
Tucker, yeah.
The Yankees tried both the Mets and the Yankees on paper. Let's say the Yankees get to the World Series, take on the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they can't win. We've seen upsets happen in sports all the time.
They'd be massive underdogs. Okay. They would absolutely, people would think they would get crushed.
And that's kind of the point. Like, going in, the Dodgers have started to pull away from the field, even though the Mets and Yankees are in the conversation for a handful of teams that can legitimately compete for a World Series. The Dodgers just keep piling on and piling on. And we're New York. Like, the Yankees shouldn't be taking a backseat to anybody. And Steve Cohen and the Mets shouldn't be taking a backseat to anybody. That's what we talked about, going head-to-head. And instead of going head-to-head, now it should be the bullseye on the Dodgers. But the Yankees are potentially going into the season with DJ LeMahieu as their third baseman.
Like, that's going to really draw my ire. I can't choose to believe that that's going to happen on opening day. If it does, you'll get my reaction clearly here on WFAN. I also think that when you look, I know the game's changed a lot, and we use the term kind of like the NCAA tournament, one game, even though baseball's not one game. There's a randomness to it because it's cyclical, the rate of failure. Aaron Judge, you know, MVP, basically 1-for-20 every series it seemed, with a bunch of whiffs. Okay, but go back, it's a while ago, and it just passed, right? So it's kind of timely. Go back to that amazing A's team. Number one, they were all hopped up on steroids. Yeah. They had Eckersley. They had Stewart. They had Mark McGwire. They had Jose Canseco. They had Ricky. They got swept by the Reds. Who the Reds have? Eric Davis and Chris Sabo?
Right.
Who the hell was on that
Jose
team?
Jose Rio. I know, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I get it. Yes, it fits the narrative today in January. It's a long season, and both teams are going to make more moves.
I know it may not be the smartest thing, but I do feel like there's got to be some kind of
reaction. So it's more of an emotional thing rather than maybe pragmatic?
Well, I think both. I think the Mets need it more anyway, but seeing them sit there and just saying, yeah, we're going to be practical about things and wait and be patient, and then seeing the Dodgers make moves on top of moves, like, come on, we thought we're closing a gap here, and they just keep going.
They keep adding to their war chest. Listen, I do have to be fair to this, though, and be fair to the Yankees. Like, if it's DJ, we got a problem. You know, they need to resolve the second, third base, but... And you know, I love the pivot. They brought in a great closer. They brought in a center fielder who could play first, who can run and hit bombs, and a lefty, which is what they need. They brought in a first baseman who at the very least going to be functional, better than Rizzo. I think the Yankees are going to win a lot of games this year. I will say, though, once the Mets got Juan Soto, I thought there were multiple big moves coming since. I am very surprised it's been this quiet from the Mets' perspective.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charlie is in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, BT and Sal. How are you, boys?
Good, Charlie. What's up?
What's up, man?
You know what? I love you guys. You guys are my sports therapist, and I need to hear it being a Met and Jet fan. You saved me a lot of moments in not going to a therapist and paying co-payments. But I'm just saying, we went over this when we signed Soto, and I called him that day. I went over the King Soto, Santa Soto thing, and I said the job's not done. And Sal, you hit that red button so quick and told me you enjoyed the moment. Well, I did enjoy the moment. That moment passed. And all we've done since then is Manaea. And that's not good enough. I wanted Freed. I wanted Burns. I wanted Beulah. I needed another arm. You know what? How about just sign Pete Alonso, start something here, and get me some more plays on that roster? Because one guy's not going to do it. The Yankees couldn't do it with Soto and Judge. And now we're going against the evil empire in the West Coast. And we're not given a chance here if we don't do anything.
That's kind of my point, Charlie, and thank you for the call, and we do appreciate the kind words.
He's more with you.
Yeah, it's not, but I'm not, like, he was saying that right after Soto, and I'm saying take a deep breath here.
I remember what he called.
And I think the Mets have had a sound offseason. They got the big fish in Soto, so it's fine from there, but I wanted more in the starting rotation, and then they needed to build out a bullpen, and A.J. Minter's a nice addition, but why couldn't it be Minter and Tanner Scott? Why can't it be? And by the way, I was under the assumption that they were going to bring Pete back, and if it wasn't going to be Pete, well, then they were going to bring somebody else in.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're operating where the Mets didn't do as much as I thought they would in the starting rotation. They didn't really do much in the bullpen, And they didn't do much in the lineup with losing Alonso. Like, at least if you brought back Alonso, it'd be okay. Well, Soto, Alonso. And I'm fine with not Pete, but then who's replacing him? Like, the Mets basically, the incremental upgrades, right? With,
yeah.
Even with Soto. I love the superstar move. They're better now than they were last year. But if it's a mild upgrade.
I know what you mean.
And the Dodgers won the World Series and they've upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
The gap still remains the same, if not wider.
Yeah, but even if Pete was already signed, the gap would still be massive.
Yeah.
So where
you mean
do you
if
go
they brought Pete back?
Yeah, let's say they announced tonight, Pete's coming back on a one-year, $33 million deal. Prove it, you know, go back out to free agency next year. Yeah, you've got the bigger stick behind Soto for protection, which I know you, that's something they really need. I said that 10 minutes ago. I'm surprised that hasn't been addressed yet. But, I mean, does that, like, significantly change the pecking? No, I mean the Dodgers are still looking down at everybody, including the Yankees in the American League.
Well, that's what I mean. But don't you think then these teams need to do a little bit more? It's not just reacting.
I know. It's not just scratching that emotional itch. Like, yeah. I want more. I know. But if the Mets, and I know the word analytics gets a lot of people to cringe. If the analytics of the Mets, and let's face it. Stearns has earned the benefit of the doubt. He's been here 1 year. Look what happened last year. I don't have to remind you, Mets fans, that basically everything he touched worked out well. And the things he did touch, what was the third baseman that they got early on that didn't work out? Joey Wendell, former Tampa Bay Ray, that they got rid of. Yeah, they signed him for $2 million. They gave it a shot. Didn't work. Get lost. You're not good enough. You know, so I think everything they did worked out. The things that they did that didn't work out, they made those go away very quickly. But I just think that you have to understand that Stearns, while it's going to be supported with more money because he's here, not in Milwaukee, his blueprint is not to just go out there like a drunken sailor and do damage. And if Met fans are waiting for that, that's not coming.
Right, and you're right about the analytics. Like, they project, let's say this year, their projections are saying they're a 90-91 win team.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was 85 wins, whatever it was, and they may exceeded that by a little bit. Okay, so our projections say we're 90-91 wins. With Pete Alonso, we're 92, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And they're thinking it's not worth this much money. That's fine. But then if you get your asses handed to you again by the Dodgers in the postseason, and we felt that last year, similar to the Knicks, BT, where a year ago, the Knicks, and we'll get more into them, but, you know, the Knicks maxed out, it felt like, especially with the injuries. They maxed out. They needed more talent to legitimately compete for an NBA championship.
Yep.
The Mets need more based on what else is going on. Maybe the Yankees don't because of the American League.
Yeah.
And then once they get there, there'll be a little rude awakening, but the Mets need more going in to legitimately compete with a team like the Dodgers on paper.
See, I hate to throw a curve here because it's almost burying the lead, but it, the more I think about this, really, and I understand the Dodgers' energy, I truly do, I think the better point might be, it really might be, the Mets have to do more to compete with the Braves and the Phillies.
Yeah.
Forget about the Dodgers right now.
That is true. That is true. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Ray.
Hi, guys. Great monologue. You know what? Both you guys are absolutely right. The Mets need a bat. Whether it's Pete, they need a bat. They can't be – I don't want to hear – this isn't last year where we're in a transition year. I don't want to hear, let's see what the young guys could do. That was for last year. The bottom line is we need a bat, whether it's Profar, somebody, you know. And the bottom line is I think we're an arm short in the rotation and a bat short. I mean, the bottom line is don't spend the money.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because I don't want to lose this point. I get this. And he wasn't even on the opening day roster, so maybe they kind of backdoored this and stumbled into it. So when you say the young players, the development, that was for a year ago. Well, what if one of the, and I don't think it's going to be Beatty, but what if it's Beatty or Mauricio? What if they replicate what, you know, what the Vientos did a year ago? Now you got two kids who are in their early 20s who were studs.
Right. But, you know, you're right, BT. But the bottom line is, get rid of Marte. He shouldn't be on this roster.
I agree
roster.
With that.
We're ready,
get rid of him. He stinks.
They're trying, and they have tried to trade him, and thank you for the call, Ray. See, there is a difference between reacting to what another team is doing and building your team to the best of its capabilities going in.
Well said. I agree with
and
that.
I don't believe, prior to these extra Dodger moves, I don't believe the Mets built their team, nor did the Yankees, and we can get to them when we come back just to add on to it a little bit,
yep.
Nor did the Yankees build, the Mets and Yankees did not build their team to the best best of their capabilities going in. And then you have the Dodgers, land Sasaki, maybe not a surprise to some. I thought he was going to go to the Padres, but whatever. Then you have them add Tanner Scott. Like, they just keep adding to this team. They add Kirby Yates. Like, the Dodgers are getting a lot of the guys that you would think the Mets would need for their bullpen. Yankees already have a beefed up bullpen, but you get the point. So I don't think, it's separate from what the Dodgers have done, which is just pile on to the already best team in baseball, I don't think the Mets and Yankees did enough anyway.
Okay, I think what's really happened here, and one of our last callers, the first call of the day, and it was Charlie, he said it. You know, the Juan Soto juice and that residue from that excitement, that has expired. Like, and that's not being greedy. That's being realistic. Like, the Mets, and we'll incorporate the Yankees more next, but yeah, the Yanks need a little tweak. Like, the Mets need more, I think, just to be a playoff team. Now, not everybody's going to agree with that statement, but I think where we are now is that one-month joyride of exultation with Soto, it's evaporated a little bit. And the Mets got to do something else here.
BT, it's Al.